All right. Well, I just want to thank you again, church, for the blessing that you have been to us. You've been so hospitable. You've been so kind to us. And in several of the conversations with you, it's just been a blessing to get to know you. And I want to thank you for your kindness to our family. And once again, thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here today. We've thoroughly enjoyed our time. And we're looking forward to continuing to fellowship with you just a little bit more, even after the service. What I'd like us to talk about, we're just going to take a couple of minutes here for the next maybe 15 minutes or so, and just talk about a church missions program and what that all entails. And so I believe you here at Stanley Heights already have a healthy church missions program, and so things that I say this evening will not be in any way saying, you need to start doing this. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying continue to do this. Because you have a healthy church missions program, and I want you to continue to have a healthy church missions program and continue to stay faithful in your cause for Christ and what He is doing through you. Yeah, like I said, it's a blessing to be able to walk through the hallway and to see the missionaries that you support as a church, to see some of those missionaries that you have sent out. And that's a blessing to be able to see that, to be able to see the reports of what God is doing through you, through your church missions program. So as I look through the New Testament, it's really interesting to me to see the emphasis on the local church. What a blessing. I think ever since the coronavirus came through, we all recognize the value of the local church. For a while, we weren't able to meet, right, for a couple of weeks or months even at times. And so because of that, we really understood just how significant it is when we are able to meet and to be able to assemble together. And by its very definition, the church is an assembly, and so it must meet. And so I'm thankful that you are here this evening and you are assembling together. And I commend you for being here on a Sunday evening assembling again. And I want to thank you for being here, even though you knew who was preaching. That's very kind of you to come back again. But it's just such a blessing to think about the local church. And as you read through the New Testament, you see that emphasis over and over and over again. Whether it's the apostles going out to start local churches or whether it's the apostles writing letters to local churches so they can be strengthened in the faith. It continues to have that emphasis all the way through. And that same emphasis from then should be our emphasis even today. So as we look at patterns from the New Testament for a local church, we see that the local church of the New Testament had a missions program. They really did. So what we do today is not just something we made up, but it's something that comes from the New Testament. And as you read through the New Testament, I think that you can see several examples of what would comprise a healthy local church missions program. So that's what we're going to discuss this evening, a healthy local church missions program. Let's begin by looking at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we're going to be in three different passages over the next couple of minutes. And so just pay close attention, and we'll be flipping through these quickly as we discuss a healthy local church missions program and what that would look like. Acts chapter 13. I believe that first, a healthy local church missions program is one that sends missionaries. One that sends missionaries. And we see that from the example of the local church of Antioch. And that's here in Acts chapter 13. I want to pick it up by reading in verse 2. Verse 2, it says, as they, that is the people that were listed in verse 1, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So these couple of verses here describe a sending church. The local church of Antioch, just like Stanley Heights Baptist Church, is a church that had a lot of members, a lot of healthy members. And in verse 2 it says, as they ministered to the Lord. And in the beginning of verse 1 it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and it lists several people. And so these are people that are in the church. These are people that are ministering within the church. And so if you have a desire to send a missionary, which is a good desire, you don't call BIMI and say, hey, we want to send a missionary. Can you send one here so we can send them out? That's not the way it works. The way it works is that it starts with you. And we all recognize that BIMI and other mission agencies are just assisting agencies. They are not sending the missionaries. You, as a local church, are sending the missionaries. And so our home church is Crossroads Baptist Church in Columbus, North Carolina. And about 6 months ago or so, they had a service where they sent us out. It was our final service there, and we were transitioning from that to deputation. And they made it as official as they could to say, hey, from now on, you are sent from our church. And so we recognize that. And I see that you've already sent several missionaries. And that's a blessing as a local church to have that privilege to do so, to be able to send out missionaries into the harvest field. And that's what's taking place here in Acts chapter 13, is that this local church is sending out missionaries. Notice with me, though, at verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so the church is the sending agency, but the church is not the one who calls the missionary. Rather, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in the heart of that missionary, and he calls the missionary to a specific work. And then the local church comes alongside of the Holy Spirit, and they work together to send that missionary out. This is the pattern of the New Testament, that a healthy local church missions program is, first of all, one that sends missionaries. Once again, I commend you. You have done so already. And I encourage you to stay faithful to the missionaries you've already sent and be looking for others who need to be sent. It says that these people were already in the church. They were faithful within the church. Maybe there's young people, maybe there's middle-aged people, maybe there's older folks in the church this evening that God wants to be sent from this church for a specific task. And you as a local church can come alongside of them and send them out into the harvest field. The second characteristic that I see of a local church missions program, not just one that sends missionaries, but secondly, one that spreads the gospel themselves. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I mentioned there's three passages we'll look at. So this is the second of the third. That means we're halfway done, okay? So the second of the third, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, a local church missions program is one that spreads the gospel themselves. So I think sometimes local churches believe that we just support missionaries and they forget to spread the gospel in their own community. And how sad that would be, because every single area of the world is a mission field. In fact, if you were to look up Chattanooga, Tennessee, I wish I remember the statistic. I looked it up the other day, and I cannot remember what it is. But there is a certain population that has no religious affiliation right here in Chattanooga. It's somewhere under 30%, so it's not a huge percentage, but still, it's a good amount of people in Chattanooga that have no religious affiliation. So that we're not talking about Baptists. We're not talking about believers. We're talking about no religious affiliation whatsoever. And then within the other 70%, that includes a lot of Catholics and Mormons and other religions as well. And so we recognize that right here in Chattanooga, you have a mission field. Or if you live in Georgia, you have even more of a mission field. I'm just kidding. No. So we recognize right where you live, there's a mission field. There is. There's a lot of people, your neighbors, your coworkers, your relatives that you live near that need to be saved. They need to hear the gospel. And so, yes, you send missionaries to other mission fields, but right here in your own area, you have people that need to hear the gospel as well. So look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. What I want us to recognize, this is so powerful, we don't have time to look at all the details, but Paul was sent from the church of Antioch, right? We just saw that. Acts chapter 13, Paul was sent from that church. We don't have time to look there, but you can jot it down in your notes. In Acts chapter 17, Paul started the church of Thessalonica. In Acts chapter 17. And it's amazing to see how Paul went into that church and he established a pattern for making much of Jesus Christ and making much of the Word of God. And then we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and Paul's writing a letter to the church of Thessalonica, which is the church that he started. Right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So he's commending them. They received the word and they applied it to their own lives. It says in verse 7, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you, listen to this, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in, what's the next two words? Every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. This is a powerful testimony. The church of Thessalonica, they obviously understood what Paul had instilled in them when he started the church in Acts chapter 17. And they received the word of God so much so that they began to spread it to others. It says that their faith to God word is spread abroad. Literally, Paul says, in every place. Paul traveled a lot of places, and wherever he went, the testimony of the church of Thessalonica preceded him. It was already there because they were a faithful church and because they spread the gospel. Likely, they sent out mission teams and missionaries to take the gospel to other locations. And by the time Paul got there, those people already heard the gospel because of the church of Thessalonica. And so as we view a healthy church missions program, number one, we see a church that sends missionaries. But number two, we see a church that spreads the gospel themselves. And I urge you, as a church, continue to support your missionaries that you've sent. But don't stop spreading the gospel wherever you go, right here in this community. You have gospel tracts that you can take as a silent witness wherever you go. And as God gives you the opportunity, open your mouth boldly and share the gospel. I urge you to do that, and I encourage you to do that. And as you do so, God will bless you, not just with fruit, as in souls, but also God will bless your life and bless your church here as you stay faithful to Him. The final characteristic of a healthy church missions program is a church that supports missionaries. And you probably said, okay, he finally got there. Yes, I did. Go to Philippians chapter 4. I'm not saying this because I'm a missionary, because I need support, although that's true. But I'm also saying this because the Bible says it. Philippians chapter 4, we're still highlighting the same guy here. So the Apostle Paul was sent where? From the church of Antioch. He started the church of Thessalonica. Later on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he followed up on that church and he said, hey, keep doing the work you're doing. Keep spreading the gospel. And then by the time we get to Philippians chapter 4, Paul's ministry has already been established well enough that he is writing a prayer letter to the church of Philippi. He's writing this prayer letter and he's saying, thank you for supporting me. Thank you for partnering with me for the sake of the gospel. So look at verse 14 of Philippians chapter 4. Paul tells the church of Philippi, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Keep that word in mind, the word communicate. Verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, there's that word again, communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. So this passage, Paul is talking to one of his supporting churches, the church of Philippi. And very clearly, this church supported him financially. And what he's saying in this passage is very key, and he describes the partnership between a missionary and his supporting churches. And so we're going to conclude with this thought that a healthy local church missions program is one that supports missionaries. And in so doing, they're not just sending a check, but they are partnering with those missionaries. In verse 14 and in verse 15, Paul uses the word communicate. Well, if you're going to communicate with somebody, you're going to have a two-way conversation, right? It's not just somebody talking and the other person listening. That sounds sad. But if you're going to have a conversation, you need to talk both ways. Some people talk and then the other person talks and you go back and forth, right? That's what he's describing. He literally is describing a partnership. The word communicate there means to partner together with, or to fellowship together with. That's what he's describing. That is the kind of partnership that he desires from his supporting churches. a partnership, not just a one-way street. And then what's really neat is he goes all the way down to verse 17, and he's commending them for supporting him. But in verse 17, he says something that sounds strange. He says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So imagine if you receive a prayer letter from a missionary, and he literally told you this in the prayer letter. In our vernacular, it would sound like this: "I don't care about your support check." That's what it sounds like, right? He says, "Not because I desire a gift." That sounds kind of rude, doesn't it? Paul is saying, "I don't care about it. That's not what I desire. That's not my top priority." And obviously, Paul did need the money, so that's not what he's saying. He's saying, "Not because I desire a gift," but listen to this phrase: "But I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So what Paul is saying is there is a bigger picture when it comes to partnership with missionaries. It's not just about writing a monthly check and receiving a monthly check. That's not how it works. Yes, that's part of it, but that's just one part of it. There is a partnership that takes place between the missionary and the churches that support them. And what he's saying is the churches that support these missionaries, they will have fruit that will abound to their account, to their eternal account. I can't imagine what that's going to be like, but I'm just going to describe it a little bit for us, just so that we can picture it. Just imagine when you get to heaven, you support Michael and Nora Diedrich to the Solomon Islands. So imagine when you get to heaven, some of those souls that have been saved there in the Solomon Islands because of the Diedrich's ministry, somehow, in some way, they come up to you in their glorified bodies, and they come up to your glorified body, and they say, "Thank you for sending that missionary. Thank you for supporting that missionary. Because you did that, I heard the gospel, and I'm now in heaven with you." Just imagine that. And imagine all of the missionaries that you support, and the souls that are saved, and the churches that are planted, and the word of God that's spread abroad because of your work in partnering with those missionaries. Philippi is not Paul's sending church. Philippi is simply Paul's supporting church, just one of his supporting churches. They didn't send him out, they just supported him. And so what we see here in this passage is that the church of Philippi will have fruit that will abound to their eternal account just because they invested in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So I want to commend you for what you have already done in partnering with missionaries, and I want to encourage you, continue to do that. Stay faithful in your partnership with missionaries. Drop down to verse 19. We'll conclude with this. Verse 19 has been ripped out of context by many people, including myself. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." What a great verse. Until I recognized that it was in the context of giving. And I was thinking, oh, that makes more sense now. But think back to your life. Think about it. When you give, when you invest in another ministry, typically God provides for your needs, right? We've noticed that over and over and over again. One specific scenario that I can think of is where I gave a very exact gift, a very exact dollar amount to a missionary, and within a couple of days, another missionary gave me that exact dollar amount back. And I was thinking, you know, our budget brain would think, well, that's just a wash. You know, that doesn't affect anything. That's not the way God works that out. God's saying, no, you invested in them, and I'm going to provide for your needs. God will provide, God will supply as we give. And it's in this context. And so what I want us to recognize as believers is that God blesses giving. God blesses investing in his missions enterprise, so to speak. And as we see what Paul is saying to this church, he's saying, I commend you for your giving. And I ask you to continue to partner with me for the sake of the gospel, not just because of the monthly check. He says, look beyond that. Look to heaven, when one day you're going to have souls that are abounding to your eternal account because of the investment that you made in my ministry. So let's back up and let's do some review. Back at the beginning, Acts chapter 13, the church of Antioch sent Paul. They sent Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were willing servants. They were ready to go. And I want to ask you, are you here in this church? Maybe God's working on your heart about going into full-time ministry or full-time missions. If that's the case, then be willing to go. Be ready to go. Be surrendered. But But until he does so, until he directs you to go otherwise, stay faithful to Stanley Heights Baptist Church, because that is the biblical precedent. That before the Holy Spirit could send those missionaries out, they had to be faithful within their local church. Secondly, after Paul was sent out, he went out and he established the Church of Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. And then when we get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we see that that church was faithful in spreading the gospel. And I want to encourage you as a church, stay faithful. One-on-one, personally, individually, wherever you go, take the gospel with you. As a church, if you have organized soul winning, be faithful to that, taking the gospel to your community. And then Paul writes a letter to his supporting church, the Church of Philippi, and he says, thank you for partnering with me. And he said, because you've done so, there will be fruit that will abound to your eternal account. And I want to encourage you as a church, think bigger, look to the eternal account one day. We don't know what that's going to be like, but we can only imagine what it'll be like. What an exciting day to think about what God will do with our eternal account one day. So until that day, stay faithful. And I commend you for what you have done, and I ask you continue to stay faithful for the cause of Christ here. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these passages of Scripture and what they teach us about missions and the cause of Christ. And I ask that you would help this church to stay faithful in their work for you. In Jesus' name, amen.